place of the Musa movement in the history of the Olam HaTorah, of the Lithuanian, some of the Polish yeshivas within the last century. We touched a little bit on the Bisrael, I think, even though our Indian here is the history of movements. See, there's the girl, the history of movements in which you could somehow see the Hashgacha and Klal Yisrael working to protect the Torah, to protect Klal Yisrael, the Amat Torah, face the challenges. The Indian is that we should see this, that we should see this in contrast. Remember how we started? In contrast to other movements, which also supposedly came to better the lot of Klal Yisrael. And we should see how from within the world of Shlema Amunah Yisrael, those who were faithful to the Torah, the various groups, we tried not to take sides here, tribe members with all my koyach, that when we talked about the Baal Shem, when we talked about the Gru, that we shouldn't sound like, you know, this one's right, this one's wrong. Talked about that a number of times, including last week, same then the Shittas HaMusa, all of these are Shittas which we see that in different ways they came to correct certain inyonim. They were revolutionary in a way, every one of them, but we called it legitimate Torah revolutions. They came to save the integrity of Torah rather than to do what reform and conservatism and Askola and assimilation, what all of those movements tried to do for the well-being of Klal Yisrael, but which ended in tragedy and a disaster, we tried to see, to get a little bit of a glimpse of some of the legitimate movements which within the history of the last 200 years since the French Revolution, since we started facing the attack of the Enlightenment, the attack of emancipation, the challenge of emancipation, how we reacted. But there are two other reaction patterns, you know, the whole halakim that I don't want you to forget about as we talk about this today. I'm still going to devote, because I think it's supremely important, this next hour and 20 minutes or so, to something of an understanding of the three shittas, of the three major shittas which developed like branches from the tree of Rabbi Yisrael. Beyond this, there are two more shittas which we have to take a look at. That of Chasam Sofer, I mentioned it, the Hungarian world. The Kehillas, which separated themselves from all of those that attempted to establish Klal Yisrael on any other basis than Torah. And that of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. These are, in effect, the five responses to the modern age, to this last 200 years, that came from within. It didn't come, you see, this is what I was looking for. It came from within, it means it wasn't like what characterizes the difference between all of these ways and all of those other ways that we mentioned that we say ended up not legitimate and ended up failing? The essential difference is that all of those other ways in part surrendered to the Goyesha Yetzirah of the times. And they wanted to save Torah and the Jewish people by in part compromising with something that came from outside that challenged us. And the general formula, though in variations, was, well, you know, if we give up this for the sake of the lesser, what's less important for the sake of what's more important, that's how it always went. Different modes, different levushim. But the Tzara Shoga, the common denominator of all these other ways, was you got to give up part of our old Torah for the sake of an accommodation, and that's how we're going to save the Torah, and that's how we'll save Klal Yisrael. These five movements are all very different from, not very, there's a common denominator. They at times seem sharply different from each other in certain emphases. The Tzara Shoga Shebekulam is that they respond to the challenge of the outside world, but not by accepting it. They don't accept what's from outside. They judge that outside world on the basis of the Torah that we received, Me'Rabbeinu, all the way back to Sinai. And what also characterizes all of these five is that the Ikre HaEmunah, a certain approach to Halacha, a certain approach to mitzvahs, the premise, the axiom, that the Torah is authoritative, it's not changeable, that the Gedolei HaTorah b'chol dor v'dor, that they are the heirs, they're the yorshim of the, you know, they're the Mamshichei HaMasoreis, which starts with Moshe Kibbutz Torah MeSinai, on the story of the Yeshua. That's what character, the union, the unity around this principle, that the Torah is not exchangeable, and that there are certain ways to Paskin Shalos, and certain ways that you can learn Sipurei HaTorah, and not other ways, even though they're varied in emphases among themselves. The common denominator, that there's a rock-bottom unity, and that's Yud Gimel Ikrim, of the Rambam, or in the version of Rabbi Yosef Albo, I have to mention something to you. See, Klal Yisrael didn't say that only the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, that's the only acceptable formulation. Rabbi Yosef Albo was a Kedosh Elyon. He said that these 13 of other Rambamis, of other than basic, but these 13, he said, can be subdivided into three. The Visharoshi, Metzias Hashem, and Hashgochos, Chavoinesh, Hashgochos, and Revelation, and Gilu Shechina. If you take a look at the 3 times 10 psukim that you see in Malchus Zechan Shofres, you'll see where the Baal Ikrim, you know, where, one of his roots, not the only one. He shows that these three Yesodis, it's a fascinating paragraph, by the way, I say this on the side, because I want to open you up to look further in certain areas. The first Brokim in the Sefer HaIkrim show that built into the first Parshias in Bereishis is the Yesod of these three pillars, these three Amudim. Yeah, Baal Ben El has certain Chilukideis in Protim. Now, but the content of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, not necessarily its formulation, but the content of Yud Gimel Ikrim is accepted by Klal Yisrael. Even though there are protim of difference, the klolim are accepted. I have to tell you that there were 2 Gedolei Yisrael who went beyond certain limits, both Rishonim. So Klal Yisrael says there, Kodesh Kedoshim, but we will look for Yesodos HaEmunah in the Rambam, in the Kuzri, in the Ikrim, in the Mabit, the Beis Avakim, in the Sforim of the first Yavetz, the Chosid Yavetz, who was one of the Gedolei Sforim, which incidentally is a Meiridik Sforim, by the way, that you should know. Rabbi Yosef Yavetz, not Rabbi Yaakov Emden, but Rabbi Yosef Yavetz, one of the Gedolei Sforim. That's where we look, and then later the Maral. There were 2 who went beyond, in the central Nekudas, the broad common denominator of these that I mentioned. The Ralbag on one side, and Rab Chasdoi Kreskas on the other. So the Chas was shown to be Meharar Achrayim. The Ralbag, in order to answer the Kasha of the seeming stira, the seeming contradiction in our limited minds, contradiction between Yediyas Hashem and Bechira, so he wanted to say that Ki'ilu Hashgochas Hashem, Hashgochas Hashem is not as proti, as total, as absolute, as we are Mechunach, as we go in the Kabbal to say. And he wants to say something that's similar to Hashgochas Klolius, in order to leave room that a protim is not Mashgiach always, to leave room for our Bechira. The Klal Yisrael didn't accept that. As a matter of fact, among the Gedolim of his Doiris, there was someone called his great Sefer, which is called the Mulchamas Hashem, they called it the Mulchamas Neged Hashem. But if you look at him on Chumash and Tanakh, it's fire. And the Ikka that I want to mention to you, if you ever look at the Ralbag, at the end of every Sedra, the Ralbag has a group of Musrim. What's the Musr that comes out of this? Brief. Succinct, you know, kids or mamish, that comes out of this and this and this, and you have a whole. I have a sefer at home which took them all out. Musrei Ralbag, it's moiridik. But nevertheless, the Klal Yisrael says that. And then Rav Chasdoi Kreskas, he went to the other extreme beyond a certain limit. He was the mechaber of the Oir Hashem. Oyer Hashem posits, wants to establish the premise ki'ilu to be memnah et ha'abachir. In other words, in order that we shall hear that, because Bochum knows everything, he went to the other extreme. It's not a plot that he doesn't know, so al-Bakhira can't be that total. There are certain inyonim where al-Bakhira is not absolute. So again, Klal Yisrael said, and in one basic area where Gleyla Gedolim didn't want to go with the Derech of the Rambam, in not in the Yesodos HaEmunah, but in explaining some of the Yesodos HaEmunah, certain Aristotelian lishonos, an idiom that he uses, they didn't want to go with that. There was criticism of him. The same, by the way, happened to the Shara Yichud of the Chavos Aldovis. We start from the Shara Pchinam. The Shara Yichud wants to prove the existence of God through a certain series of intellectual propositions. So the Balei Musa start right after the Shara Yichud. The Shara Yichud cannot accept for people who are highly advanced already. Shara Yichud is not learned by Stam B'nai Torah like us. These two were limits. Why do I mention it? Because I want to get across that everybody that's within the consensus doesn't go beyond certain limits. Not on this side, not on the other side. What characterizes these five movements is that these five movements didn't go out of certain limits. I haven't explained enough. But let this just stand for you as a clue. As you learn more, you read more, you see how it fleshes out, how it brought and fill in. What characterizes all the movements that were rebellions against Torah is that they go beyond this common denominator of all the doyos of Shleiman and Hashem. And remember that they are willing to allow certain aspects of Torah to be judged by doctrines and ideas that come from outside. This I'm trying to phrase for you carefully. These five, they define the world. They approach the world on the basis of what the Torah teaches. They don't adapt the Torah to the world. They adapt the world to the Torah. So remember, there are these five movements that we're touching on. We're in the middle of the Shittas of Musar Rabbi Yisrael, which Be'etzim had a very powerful, as we tried to say again and again, molding effect, even if not anymore in the same way that Rabbi Yisrael practiced it in his greatest Talmidim, but Be'etzim, the outlook on Torah that he implanted, that Rabbi Yisrael implanted, like we said last week, that stands behind, you know, all of the Mekomos HaTorah in the world today. I want to take a look at three of these major branches. Started a little bit, wasn't enough. The life and basic teachings of Rabbi Simcha Zisl, so the Kaddish of Keller, some years ago, the Halka from Keller, and Reb Nota Hirsch Finkel, the Sova of Slabotka, and number three, the Alta from the Varadik, Rabbi Yosef Yezel Horowitz. Yeah?
I think I'm just missed a point.
Yeah, please.
These five branches.
No, I said now, we're in the Shittas HaMoseh. Shittas HaMoseh is one of five movements we're trying to look at.
The
Gros, Baal Shem, Shittas HaMoseh, the Chassam Sofer, and his Askula, his school, because he's a major figure, the Chassam Sofer. He's not known, by the way. For people who only see the children, you see an Anach, a giant. But his Derech HaChinuch for those Rivav Esalfa Yisrael, whom he saved from Shemad in his generation, until today, very few understand the underpinning, the whole method and the approach to Torah, the insights. There are several Sforim that did masterful jobs of taking out from all of his Sforim these Yosaidis. There's one that's called Hadrocha Levan Torah. You can load it. I have to, if somebody will remind me, I have to bring it to you. And there's another that's like Yosaidis Emuna in the Chassam Sofer, singled out hundreds of Mekoros, put them together according to themes, and you'll see the Chassam Sofer. I mean, as little, without a little minds. That's the fourth, and then the world of Rav Shem Shemesh Hirsch, who played a major role in confronting an opposition to Torah in a world in which there was no Torah kamat anymore, in a world in which there kamat no yeshivas anymore. There's a lot to teach us. Over there, the big question is, was it a Horoah Shor? Was it not a Horoah Shor? We come to that. But these five, all of them, they stand on one platform. These five, like I told you about the Doros HaRishonim, there are certain limits beyond in Emunah beyond which none of these movements went on this side or on this side. They have a common denominator, one, in Yesodos HaEmunah, Yesodos HaHashgacha, and number two, in other words, the Masoros HaVeseinu, all the way through the Nevi'im and Chazal, retained a unity of construct for them, for all five, and they don't judge the truths of the Torah by asking, does the Torah maybe have to be tailored a little bit over here or there, in halacha or otherwise? Or not? There were those who held that. All those who held that fell out, became dried branches. With it, they fell away from Klal Yisrael. All those who remained within this frame, they remained respected at least, even if not equally makabel to everybody. You understand? But they remained at least regarded as legitimate, each in their way. I should also say that in each of these movements, when you go further, far enough, it's far beyond what we can do here, you'll begin to see that there were certain self-corrective devices. Because any human movement, other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, that's perfect. But anything that's human, if it's already after the period of Nevuah, you know, Talmidim and Talmidim could end up, you know, going this way, and then there'll be others who'll say, no, that's not what the Rebbe meant. And there's a self-correctiveness in each one of these. There are debates between them. And since if they mean L'Shem Shemayim, that's the Eilu V'Eilu D'Vor L'Kim Chayim, if they mean L'Shem Shemayim, Machlokes L'Shem Shemayim, Yisofer L'Iskayim, so it means that each one is going to, unseen, will be triggering certain hashlamas, certain corrections in the other. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until he'll renew Nevuah, when Nevuah is renewed, so then it'll be clear. This is the Dvar Hashem, period. Yes, no. Till then, there's a common denominator, right? But within that common denominator, there are times which need, you know, which need certain corrections. These three, within the Shittas HaMusar, of Simcha Zisl, Ha'otef Shastal Botka, and Ha'otef HaMavadet. First, their lives. And I'm taking this almost directly, the briefest form that I saw it in, from this Sefer, the Torah HaMusar. This is a Mifchar, it's a selection of Sichas and Imrois and Toldos of the Gedolei HaMusar, by David Zaritsky, Hasholem, who was the greatest, well, himself a big Baal Moser, Chanich of all the literature yeshivas, and not with one or two exceptions, one of the very few writers who could write at the highest level in Torah themes, in Hashgacha themes, and who was a brilliant writer as well. I mean, he was absolutely outstanding. So wherever you see this name, David Zaritsky, and we should know he was Mekubal, accepted by all the Gedolei Yisrael, there was a lot of weeping when he was Nefter. He, Reb Moshe Schoenfeld, these were the Jews, these were two of a small group of Jews in the modern Tkufa, I mean, post-Second World War here in Eretz Yisrael, who were, you know, Lefnai v'Lefnim, and they were able to communicate, you know, the Shittis of their Rebbes to an outside world, even though that outside world didn't have much appreciation or advanced understanding. Okay, I'm going to go through, you know, in digest form, what he says. He quotes Mamorim, and everywhere before each set of Mamorim are theirs. Before each set of Mamorim, he gives you like a link to introduce it, you know, a link between what came before and what comes afterwards. The greatest of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael was Rabbi Simcha Zisl Ziv, who was known in the world of Musa by the name the Sova of Kelem. He was born in the town of Kelem, Litta, in the year Tavkuf Pei Dalid, equivalent to 1824, to his father, who was a great Goren in his generation, Rabbi Yisrael Breuder. The Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron today is a direct grandchild of Simcha Zisl. Today he's named after him, like Simcha Zisl Breuder. His father was at first a merchant. And his own father was one of the biggest tzaddikim in that whole world. He was a merchant, but after he failed in business, he became a dayan in Kelim. His father was a big goyim. You should know that there were a lot of such Jews in those places. An ordinary mister. Here I'm reminded that when the Panovich of Zechan and Avrocha discovered Reb Feivel Mendelovich, so he found out that this Reb Feivel Mendelovich, who was one of the major builders of Torah in America, started off with the first 10 good Talmidim, started off Rebbe, started off every major transplanted yeshiva with some of the best Talmidim in Torah Vidas. Then he insisted on being called Mr. Mendelovich. It wouldn't. He called him Rav. He would. Then I missed him. So when the Panovicharov caught, you know, who and what he was, it was a big public chokham, and caught who and what he was, he said, "What's up is Mr. Mendelovich. Mr. Mendelovich." Wouldn't call. You know what I mean? he's hiding himself away. There was such nistogam over there who wanted people to think that they were misters. And this, the father of Rav Simcha Zisel was a Jew. He was a shasyit. He became a dayan in Kelim. While he was still a young boy, Rav Simcha Zisel separated himself, became estranged from all of those who were his age. He played with them for a while, but in the middle of the games, it became noticed after a while that he would leave his chaverim. Subtly, he'd get away from them and go hide either in an attic or in the Ezras Noshim of the Beis HaKnesses, and for many hours in a stretch, as a young boy, he would be Ma'ayan and Rambam and Achavis Avodas. Those were the two Svarim that drew him then. His extraordinary talents, his Kishroinus, amazed those who taught him, and in the Drosha, in his Bar Mitzvah Drosha, he said a Hadran on Seyda Nezik. A whole Seder HaShas. When he was young, he learned in his own town with his father. After he was married, he went to Kovna to hear Torah from Rabbi Sol Salante. Now his father, remember I told you that Rabbi Sol first tried with Balbatim, and it didn't turn into a mass movement. But there were a number of leading Balbatim who became going to the Tzaddikim because of Rabbi Sol. It weren't a mass movement, but in a number of towns you could find them. Reb Simcha Zisel's father was one of them. Instead of sending him then to Galozhin or to one of the few, Galozhin was the central yeshiva, he sent him to Reb Yisrael, to Kovna. But he went there, seems I have to add, unbeknown to us, he went there with the idea that he was going to look that over. He's a young boy, he was going to be a mevaker. He wanted to analyze. He likes it, he doesn't like it. He wanted to take a critical look. Who is this Rabbi Yisrael? But after he heard one sicha from Rabbi Yisrael, he was misdabek b'rabbi, and then after that, he got Rabbi Yisrael to learn a whole year with him, Limud HaMusar. Rabbi Yisrael became his private rabbi, a whole year. B'vada, they learned other limudim, must have learned the more paskim, but for a year's time, Rabbi Yisrael put whatever he could into this young boy. Rabbi Yisrael worked with his Talmud more than with any of his other Talmudim. And it was held in his door that in his Madrega, he rose higher in the limud of Musa. No, he rose to a high Madrega, to compare, to an exceptionally high Madrega, Gevorah B'Yoser in the limud of Musa, and in Avodas Avakim. And he became the greatest, this is, here it's stated as it was at the top, the greatest disseminator of Musa after his Rebbe. In other words, after Rabbi Yisrael was Nifter, he was seen as the Yoresh. The others were his great Chaverim, but he was the central figure for a while. Then he separated himself completely from the world. Torash kemat min olam, locked himself up in a cheder miyuchad, and Kemat didn't go out of his door. He slept never more than 2.5 hours in 24 hours, and that broken up into, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour at a time. In half hours. There was five half-hour slots that he slept. During the 6 days of the week till Shabbos, he never removed his clothing and used to learn all night. The Siddurim and Limud was so fixed that nothing could be Meshane a Seder for him. As man, you know, the world could crash around him and he wouldn't break his Seder. In the most difficult conditions, and even when he was very sick and there was a sakana of death over him, he never interrupted his regular Siddurim. When always there was a matzav, but it was questionable whether how long he would survive. Times when there were a lot of people who needed him. Another thing that's said over here very briefly, but having read here and there, I find that repeatedly, this is one of the marks of Anoshim Gedolim. Anoshim Gedolim, after a while, it's Rabbim Tzrichim Lehem. People need them. A Bocha needs them. You know, an Almona needs them. The Dayan needs them. Whoever, Chaverim need them. There's a big, some big problem that's happened, a crisis. These Jews are not mafsik their control of their time. I say about very, you know, any number of gedolim that hear the same thing, they would be sitting in an asifa or running in a train. The sefer would never, you know, they would never stop learning. The sefer was never removed from them, even though a minute here and a minute there and here an hour. There were some about whom it was said that almost miraculously that they would blend in, you know, dveikus in Torah and dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu with whatever they seemed to be talking about. There were strong rayas that the Chofetz Chaim was like that. There were times when he seemed to be talking about horses and about, and those who got to understand started sensing he wasn't talking about horses, but he learned how to talk about horses and apples to this almoni, selling her apples. He was in another world. Forget whom. But one of the big meshivim, forget whom, they said that he was able to write two tshuvas simultaneously. About whom? About the Shlomo Klibi, yeah? That there were 10 such Eden.
No,
oh, 10. That I never heard. That I never heard. You saw it somewhere? Is what you saw?
I heard of Shlomo
Klibi. I'll tell you where do I hear two? I always heard two, because you only have two hands. No, to be also contentious, this is something else. But to write,
I remember very distinctly. I don't know how he could.
Dictating. See, dictating I hear.
No, could be a shame, Kosei. Like
the Shachar.
I've heard from Shlomo Goldberg about Rav Chaim Moshe. About Rav Chaim Moshe? Yes, about Rav Chaim Moshe. So in other words, these Yidden were not mafsik their Siddurim. That's the point that I want to make over here. Now, even when many needed them, the biggest nisoy and the biggest temptation out of Ahavas Yisrael and Achrayas for Torah is that such Yidden, when they feel Rabim Tzrichim Lehem, so he's got to stop learning right now. They found ways not to lose their daily menas chelkam, their daily portion in avodah and in Torah. Whether it made up for it in the middle of the night, they found ways. Further, and from then also, kol yemei chayav, his whole inyan was chinuch of others, chinuch of children, chinuch of adults, chinuch of the dor. His inyan was chinuch. You see, there are gedolim whose inyan is to write shuvas. There are gedolim whose inyan is to say shiurim. A shiurim is not the same. It's a chinuch in learning in a derech halimud. But mechanchei achayim constantly to be mechanech wherever he was. His inyan is to be mechanech in every sphere, in every field. That was his inyan. He was a mechanech. Well, he was a mechanech because he was a mechonach. Yeah?
I think that Thomas Moses says that Rav Simcha Zisel, on that last point, I think it was an exception. When he had his man kavua, there's a famous story where they came from the government and they almost put him in jail.
Yeah.
He didn't open the door.
Yeah. I said that. Nothing could budge him. I didn't mention that example. Nothing. In other words, he was needed, there was threats, there was danger, he was almost dying, he was dying. But he was a mechanach his whole life too. Now this is a brief little word. Rav David Zaritsky wrote very concisely, but in every word sometimes you see that there were worlds behind it. For a yid like that, I want you to stop to think for a minute, because this in itself is a sichas musa. A yid who never lost minutes because others needed him, he never lost minutes. And at the same time, he's always being mechanech. Right? You know what this means? It means that to be mechanech, you're not be'ikir mechanech because you spend 2 hours, you know, saying, teaching. Sometimes you're mechanech with a look. Sometimes you're mechanech with 3 words. You're mechanech by the way you walk. Now, Bevada, he said siches and he said shiurim, but he never stopped both. Which means that on one hand, he was always soifeg, he was always absorbing Torah and Yirah Shemayim and Avodah, he was always mishtalim, he was always perfecting himself. But on the other side, it's not emes that he wasn't giving. He was giving. We don't have a hasoga of that kind of giving. Ah, look. Look. A word. And in all that he does, it's never the case that he's trying to teach you to know something only. He's educating you. He's educating you. And without taking away from his ishtalmus. I have no explanation for that. That's certain madregas. Chinuch HaYochid and Chinuch HaRabim. The beginning of his Chinuch HaVoida was in the town of Zage, and there, strange, he undertook to be a Malamed for little children. And he also became the Menayel, the founder and the Menayel of the Musa Shtidl in the place for grown-ups. After he stayed 2 years in Petersburg, stayed for two years in the house of the famous Russian Jewish millionaire Vysotsky, and he did this on the instructions of Rabbi Yisrael. What he did there, Rabbi Yisrael told him what to do there. He then returned to Kelem, and he established what became to be known as the Kelem HaTalmud Torah. Kelem HaTalmud Torah wasn't a school only for little ones. It was post bar mitzvah, and then it reached into the Bechur Beis HaMedrash, the equivalent of Kollel. It stood as the central Musa place until Hitler, Yimach Shemayim. I don't have the time here to describe it to you. There are descriptions of how Daniel, who was the last head of the, how they went to their Kiddush Hashem, how the Kelam HaTalmud Torah, how it ended. You could see that he was there, even though he was Nifter so many years before. His ruach was there, was chayfef till the last minutes. He didn't. I said before in the sicha that one of the inyanim of Kedushas Yisrael is we don't become animalized. And there's a lot of pressure, lachatz. So vayitzek adonai Yisrael Hashem. It's a second teva. But over there in Kelem, there was another inyan. Not just that they didn't, you know, they didn't become animalized. They didn't lose to the last minutes their total control of every gesture, of every movement. And again, I'm telling it, there were yechidim who escaped at the end and who told how Rabbi Daniel and his talmidim went, how the Kelem HaTalmud Torah came to an end. I'm very brief here. I could talk to you about that for an hour, but I want to. I'm very brief. Comes back to Kelem and makes a Talmud Torah. An outsider who would come in and take a look at that Talmud Torah, when they say the high school boys that age would think that he's in a modern high school. They wore the equivalent of uniforms. Clothing impeccable. Every button had to be, you know, every brass button was polished. Her mother, who was taken in at first, only aristocratic children. Children from the upper classes. Aristocratic children. Kimovan, you know, aristocratic children from Torah homes, but he wanted to create a certain aura. One day, a mother, who was herself the top society of the Lithuanian Torah community, I don't know who it was, it's not mentioned in the records, comes in and she sees her boy, is, he's he's brushing the floor. That was a very special privilege. You couldn't just sweep the floor over and swept the floor. The mother comes in, he sees her boy. He was raised on milk and honey. Nothing ever denied to him. Total aristocracy of behavior. Had a million servants for anything they wanted. And he's sweeping the floor over here. So she says to Rabbi Simcha Zissel, for this I sent my boy here. This was going to be a special elite school where everybody was going to come out, was going to become, you know, aside from Talmud Chacham Gadol and aside from Yirei Shemayim, was going to be an aristocrat to the bone in style and behavior. This is what you're doing to him. So he said to her, whatever her name was, those who sweep the floor over here, worlds will one day bend to them. They'll sweep bigger floors than this. It'll bend to them. I'm saying it like a militza, like a marshal. Anybody looking at it would see. Now, I have to mention over here that this Indian of outer impeccable dress, impeccable speech, carriage of nobility, Epsom Chazisla emphasized it a lot, and Slabotka later, even though Slabotka went away, as we will see in certain Yonah from Epsom Chazisla, from his world, but in Slabotka it became a test. Why did they do this? This was another Indian in which the times and emphasis changed, not necessary anymore. Semi-modern clothing. The Tosh Yeshiva's boys, well, all of them, until Chasanas, until the Chasana, shaven, kibbutz, you know, the Derech HaKosher, short jackets, which at that period was unheard of. In the beginning. It was a way of demonstrating to unknown numbers of youth that in order, I'm going to say it coarsely, in order to be a mensch, like you'd be if you got to this or that campus or this or that medical school or this or that meeting of people of the cultured classes, we have more of it today. That was their nekuda. It was a way of showing you don't have to run, because you have to remember that they were not dealing with a world that was coming in from outside, from parent generations who were partly torn away from Torah. They need a different chinuch. They need a chinuch, you don't care what the Galatian world thinks. Let the Talasit film show. Let the Tzitzit show. Let the Burden pay show. They need a different chinuch. But a chinuch in which most Jews were still from. And in the thousands and the tens of thousands, boys are running to Heidelberg. Boys are running to Berlin. Boys are running to Paris. Boys are running to Warsaw and Krakow and the place in Vilna. Rabbi Yisrael held that we have to show the world in order to remember it, the opposite side of the bridge. These who are running, you don't have to run there. We have more of it here. And with us, it's real. And over there, it's false. So there were certain, some and more than certain outer characteristics which we would regard today like as if it's imitative, like as if it bends to the values of the Goyish world. It wasn't that at all. The Shmira inside, can I help you with something? They fortified them inside with a total resistance to influence from the Goyish world. In other words, a Bocher of Slabotkin, they did a mirror in this respect, because Rabbi Yeruchem was a Kelamer, impeccably dressed, turned out, but never thinking, you know, I have to please the Goy Cholila. It was like, you know, we have the real nobility. That was the Yesod. Because a dog which is coming from that kind of a world in which kids, in the you know, coming out of the 50s and the 60s and the 40s and from American parents and others in the Western world who had everything and who were machunach raised with that, all that outwardness, when they started coming into Yiddish life, the later Ramim and Mashgichim of these same moistures, of these same yeshivas, took a different stance. Today, in the literature yeshivas, come at everybody, at least a Simon Zot or something, most already have started growing. I know that at a certain point, Rabbi Sakutna Alava Shalom, until a certain point, he looked like that. I remember him. I remember clean shaven, short jacket. At a certain point, he decided, got to go the other way. in look, in manner, in style. And it was also, it was thought through. It wasn't stamina, a mood. He ended up with Satan Kafka and a Spugget and a big Polish Dreimel and Payas and Beers and his. I know he's older, his earlier Talmidim. I know some of his later Talmidim. So I saw the process. I saw what happened over there. I always say it with a warm. I say it with a smile of how shall I put it? Of admiration of Henech, so the Zenzer of Hamach Leibowitz, when he's asked about the dress style of Chofetz Chaim, which is in some ways a continuation of Slabodka, when he's asked about it, so he says Chofetz Chaim Bachurim or Talmidim of Chofetz Chaim, we dress elegantly conservative. Conservatively elegant. Yeah, all right, sure. It's all right. What leaps to happen? I'll sit down with you one evening and we'll start chopping each other. Look for the cloud. Look for the cloud. You know what? Bezer Hashem, we're going to get together one day and I'm going to sit down and listen to you for 15 hours until you're happy. Chalila, chalila, Hashem Shalom. You know what I want to see? Pischu Espichem V'yoyir Edivrechem. I want to see all of you open up and talk. Someday you're going to have to talk to who knows how many thousands of others. So what you should get from all of this is that you should be armed with Maseiras HaBaseichem. You should know where you come from. And from one or another of these, even though we're not Nevi'im, of these little things that we touch on here, you're going to find something to say and a way to react to this challenge, to that situation, wherever you'll be. If you're focused on it. If you're focused on it, that's all. Adaram. Okay, a little weiter. Many Gdora Torah and Musa came out, later on Musa, came out of that Talmud Torah, who later became Rosh Yeshivas, and by the way, the Dor, after he founded the Kalamah Talmud Torah, came out, all the famous Mashgichim of the other Mitzvah Yeshivas came out of Kalamah. In one way or another, they were Kalamah products. Which means that he held that it needs a kind of a factory to produce that. Bet Haroshet. A generation later already, those Mashgichim started producing their own Talmidim who became. There were several Doros of Mashgichim, yeah?
Could you name some of the Gdolei Halacha that came out of
Kelim? Out of Kelim? Oh, you see, it's hard to put it like that. It's hard to put it like that. I'll tell you why. He held that all the yeshivas need a certain kind of anhoga, of a sort that even the lumdis that he put into his people, that's not what they projected. That's not what they showed to others. Rav Simcha Zisl was a goyim, didn't say shiurim. Rav Noti Hirsch was a great Talmud Chacham. The Alter von der Wardach was a great Talmud Chacham. They had to project a certain side because that's what they wanted the yeshivas to, and that was their tafkid. But when you take a look at their Talmidim, you'll see that they had to be big lumdim. In that Slabodka that this Alter von, that the Alter from Kelim, brought into being through Reb Noti Hirsch, who parted from him in certain ways later. Some of the people who were there it's easier to come, to spell it out. Moshe Motcha was there, who came out of it. Rabban came out of it. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky came out of it. Rav Ruderman came out of it. A whole group of big Rosh Yeshivas. And they were all Talmidim who saw the mountain as he was the major molder of their being. He was the molder of their the tzura of their Torah. So, I could tell you that there was a similar manifestation in certain parts of the Chassidish world for reasons of chinuch. Those rebbes who were some of them who were lomdim b'madrega reshoina. That's not what they accepted. Certain moments when it sort of flashed out. That's not what they projected. The Biana Rebbe, who lived in New York. New color, and at certain moment it came out but that's not what he projected. He held that he had to, you know, others had to do that because there was something that he had to do that others were not doing. So that first generation of Mashgichim who came out of Kelem, the Veda they were Lomdim Gedolim, the Veda they were Gedolim Torah among them. But they weren't saying Shiurim. A little bit later, they already developed such manifestations of both. And of course, Reb Chaim Shmulevitch, he wasn't known as a great Baal Musar in his earlier years, but in his later years, he became both Magid Siches and Magid Shiurim. And there were a number of others like that. Yeah? Good, you had a contribution. But in time, when we get to certain other Yechidah, maybe I'll be able to show you more of this. Reb Daniel. Avada, Echzogdach. I mean, there were ranking London among them, but that's not what they projected. It's not what they showed. Because of slander to the government, he was forced to leave Kelem, and he immediately re-established the Talmud Torah in the town of Grubin. By the way, in the Kelem of Talmud Torah, there was also a certain amount of secular studies at the high school level, and at its basic level, Bavada, because of which, Rabbi Yisrael Salante, on the one hand, he said that he was the only one of his Talmidim whom he would permit to establish such a Maisid. But in order not to give a haskama to it, he never stepped foot in it himself. So it didn't come there himself. So why? Because I think I mentioned this to you before, that he knew that Reb Simcha Zisl, if necessary, if he saw it was being mekukel, he would be strong enough to close it down. The real aim, I haven't even spelled it out. You know what they wanted to do with the Kelem HaTalmud Torah? They wanted not just to hold back the stream of the Baal HaKishra and of the richer classes. Remember I once told you that in the German Kehillot, what went wrong was that the Gevirim first went the other way, then started breaking the Rabbonim and started breaking the Chinuch. See, the Iker Spitzer didn't get that, I didn't say it right, because I'm trying to save time. So in the Kelem HaTalmud Torah, he wanted to show you can create a Jewish aristocracy at the highest level that should be filled with Torah and Hirashamayim. And that's why he took those risks. And again, it wasn't a Chinuch for a Dor, you know, that's coming from the outside inside. There was a chinuch for a dog whom he didn't want to leave from the inside. The Alta Fenavadek, who turned against that, once said that if he had koyach and if he wasn't afraid, if they would let him, he would go in and break all the furniture in Kelem. because he held that in the long run, that kind of chinuch for many would not work. It would end up dangerous. All right, so he went to another shita. Hadarav, to show her sort of who cares about what my clothing looks like, you know, what my appearance looks like. And both of them, you know, played against each other. Go ahead.
Could you elaborate a little on what they mean by secular studies? I heard from one Rosh Hashiva that in those days secular studies meant to being able to write your name.
That's not what happened.
Yes, so I want to know. Exactly
it meant some history and geography and math and the language of the country. You know what? What you heard was what was called Ksav HaLosh. My father, Olam HaShalom, was a product of that. What you call Ksav HaLosh, learned how to write his name in Polish. And I don't know where, but he picked up some Jewish history somewhere. I don't know what he read. He must have read Seder HaDoros. I mean, but he knew. You see, if I had time, I would give you a lesson. Sometimes I would like to give you a lesson. What was called a Shir in Ksav HaLosh. But it's not for now. Yetzirah is making me turn aside. That was in every shtetl, in every shtetl. So a child was taught. You know what Ksav HaLosh is? Writing and reading. Writing and reading. But that was not what was done over here. That everybody was taught. Over here there was a structure. There was a structure. And had a number of subjects. And that's why it was such a chiddush. He went out of the... Nobody else did that. And by the way, when somebody else tried to do it a little bit later on a different scale, at a higher level, he was fought hard. Rabbi Sakach of Linus and Lida tried to make a yeshiva based on that. Simcha Zisl, for a number of years, this is the way he went. You know what else? The Moshel is a sefer that was just reprinted. How did those Deiris learn a little bit of science? The Sefer Abris. It was published. Rabbi Yo, he was in the Talmud of the Gror, in the lifetime of the Gror, And that was the sefer that was used for 200 years. Jew wanted to know a little something, you know, about the science of the time, so and seven, this was Melech Musar as well. But it was the last sefer that was written supposedly as a science, as an encyclopedia, as a summary of the human non-Jewish knowledge of the day, but written from a Torah Hashkafa perspective. Since that sefer was written, there hasn't been such a sefer again. Split became very wide. We'll leave that. Okay. Came to Grubin, and then hundreds of Talmidim again came there. But the Talmudim Kelim remained, and was then under the Hanhola of his Talmidim. And that Beis HaMusar remained till Churban, later in the years of the Holocaust of the Churban. Reb Simcha Zissel was Nifter, Ches Menachemov, Tafresh Nun Ches, Lahautl, and then the Mesperon, 1898. Kishita. We're only going to have time today to do him, I see, but I'll try. He was, when Rabbi Yisrael laid down the principles of the Torah HaMusar, he laid down certain foundations and general lines. But many different drachim branch out from them in accord with place, time, situation, and person. And I have to tell you that within each one of these shittis, the really great Balei Musar worked out almost shittas for each yachid. And in this, the Alter from Slabotka was especially great. He knew Perchas HaNefesh, he would have been a world psychologist if he, but he was, without, it's all from within. They say it was amazing how he was able to catch Perchas HaNefesh, our word too, taking a look at Atonement, and how he worked with them, you know. The kiss and the carrot and the stick, the deep inside perception of this Talmud's needs, the right hadrocha, not too much love, not too much zroich mora b'talmidim, everything perfect, and with such a care and such a concern that the Talmud in time, I mean those whom not everybody took to it, there was some who broke away, those who became his saw in him a father. Saw in him more than a person who gave to them the kind of hadrocha for life and chinuch for life that no father could give. So in other words, this pitzul into different shittas became essentially, why different shittas? Well, you can't completely make, you know, a school for each individual, but the thrust was to be mechanach each yochid. Reb Simcha Zissel had his particular derech, which is based beikir on practical, the Chinuch HaMaasi, practical self-training of a person on himself and within himself. Ooh, how they worked on Seder, not to lose a minute, quarter. Do it this way, don't do it that way, don't leave a book twisted like this. Your tie, oh, I'm sorry. I have this, I need, get me a tissue from outside. See, I'll spell this out a little bit. Practical self-training exercises. Al atzmai ametoich atzmai. A person needs always to know and to act on this knowledge that he's trying to walk on a ladder that takes him upwards. But he has to walk step by step on every rung of the ladder without skipping from one madrega to another. Yeah, without skipping madrigas. Slowly, thoroughly, like a person who is chopping away, hacking away at a rock. A person who does that, he puts his feet squarely, you hear, in the place that's already been hewn out, and then he progresses further. And if he wants to do it right, he'll do it with a little b'sheket, that means taken together. He's not going to be nervous. He's not going to allow himself to become either overly emotional or agitated. He's got his task laid out for him, right? He'll work with mesinus. He's not going to feel, he's got to chop the rock up in 5 minutes. If it takes him 2 hours to chop away at this, he'll never let go. And he'll retain mesinus's self-control. the opposite of agitation. Again?
Dignity.
Huh? Well, not just dignity. See, Mesinus over here doesn't mean moderateness. See, elsewhere Mesinus means moderation. Here it means
equanimity.
Equanimity is forthright. Equanimity, yes, but guided, directed equanimity. They cultivated this a lot. Not to fly off the handle ever. Not to fly off the handle. He's got a job, this Jew, this human being, this Ben Torah, is chopping away at a rock. He's not going to skip any rungs on the ladder. That means he has to always keep analyzing himself. He has to know himself more before he takes a step. He always is involved in self-analysis. And he doesn't take a step without deliberateness. Mesinus means deliberateness. That's the word I was looking for. In other words, nothing is going to sort of push him off course. Once he puts himself on the course, he's going to stick to that. Kabdonos means that he's a perfectionist. He wants to do it right. He's not going to be maskim to do it halfway. Here, 90% is enough. To him, 90% is not enough. Dikonos means precision. He will not do anything in general approximate terms. He will not say, so I won't get there, I'll get here. In other words, his goals keep growing with him. He's on a ladder, he's going to take every step, he's going to be deliberate, right? He's going to look, he'll never stop from yearning for perfection, from striving towards it, from working towards it. In this derech, a person should be mechanach es atzmai in it, and to reach it, meshach kol yemei chayav. So if somebody were to say, you know, how should a Jew, what should a Jew try to be doing? Self-chinuch, with this underpinning, with this technique, this context, all of the days of his life, to update, that would mean to scrape after, in his neshama, after the smallest blemishes, to extract, to exhaustively extract, that's lematzah, it says, kol mavuyah apsulim, to exhaustively extract any of its desires that's possible to the end. To know how to draw out constant, thorough, Machiavelli says thorough to the bottom, constant, thorough self-criticism to the bottom of the soul, and not to be afraid of the fact that when you do that, you're not going to be nice to yourself. Now don't be mistaken. He wasn't looking for the paralysis of self-guilt. In here, it's like, rather than somebody else should slap you, either the Hashgacha or Einish or your Rebbe or your father, or slap yourself. Be merciless, relentless. Don't have mercy on yourself in your upward striving, in your moving, in your doing. And therefore, he held that a person needs always to immerse himself in a world of reflection, of deep reflection, looking inward, his boinenus iyunis. Histaklus ma'amika means, I'm looking, what do I really see? What do I really see? I see the outer meaning of what's happening or of this person, or I see behind the facade? And what I see, what does it translate itself to me as meaning? What's the idea that comes out of it? That's his boinenus iyunis. To put everything under the rod, under the critical rod, shevet abikoros, under examination. This iyunius and this amkus, this depth, this reflectiveness, this chitut, this scraping, should not be dry, but it should be accompanied by an inner storm which always transforms the inwardness, and which it should be accompanied always by stormy inner emotion which strikes me inwardly. But all this should be inside. Outside, it's prohibited. It's also that somebody should recognize the storm that's happening inside this person who is searching, who is mechapis. Yeah?
Something that I try to understand, amongst all these different, we talked about the series.
Yeah.
Mechanech, I don't see how it's possible for Mechanech to give a derech to, for people to go through, when each person and his personality is completely different.
And completely no. I mentioned that this, that Betz, and this was a thrust that looked for individual. You're right. That's why I mentioned before, anticipated this, that the Altefa Slabodka was especially great, sort of at defining, catching this whole thing here for yochid after yochid after yochid for hundreds of yochid.
So therefore, you can't have a structure.
Except for one thing, that these askulas, the various shittas, held that whole groups of people had certain common denominators, even though they had. In other words, the question is, how different is everybody from everybody else? No two individuals are alike, but isn't there a common denominator which unites all Jews? Remember, I tried before when I spoke, tried to verbalize this, that all these shittas are so different, different countries. So I'm saying, even in personalities, there's a tzad hama'ached and there's a tzad hama'ached. Now, the really great...
would be good in this.
I'm saying, the really great Balei Musa could do this with hundreds. Yeah. Those who were not at that level did it in general. We were able to catch certain common denominators. I'm saying there's a tzadam achay between yechidim, there's a tzadam avdu. But you're right in touching this pulse that avoda chinuchis has to know the thin line that's between the kavam achay and what's mafrit. Okay? A little bit further.
Yes. Isn't that like Vadim or the central part?
The Vadim are essential to that. Uh-huh. But I'm giving you something very brief.
Yeah, but he was trying to create a person's personality. By
No.
Very, very specific things we're talking here. We're not talking about general.
But inwardness,
how we should feel,
inwardness and reflectiveness, you hear, is still common denominator.
So
self-training, practical self-training, or is practical habit formation, and constant and inwardness is still common denominator. What this is to be addressed to, what am I reflecting on? Do I have any guidelines? That's where it starts branching out. But this is still common denominator, even though it went beyond, in a certain area, beyond what Rabbi Yisrael was trying to do. It's more specific than Rabbi Yisrael, but he's more general than those who came after him. You're right in saying that the effectiveness of such chinuch requires, masterful insight, very wide-ranging. It requires that people who wanted to be mechanchim of this kind should have in themselves whole oceans, whole worlds. That this side touches this base and this side touches that person and the other. Except that remember always, there always is an assumption that there's a certain sad hamachet. So three things we heard thus far. Practical training, repetition of certain things, practice. Step by step, reflectiveness, inwardness, self-criticism, a life of spiritual immersion. A person always needs to keep an accounting. Oh yeah, and it shouldn't show outside. A person needs an accounting with himself vis-a-vis his creator and vis-a-vis his world. That's where all these inyonim came, once a week, once a day. What happened today? How did the weeks add up into the months? Remember that Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh? The months into the years. His cheshbon is with himself, and now comes another yesod. To be tzoyfer b'charodo ledin she'ol aviyel himself. To know he's going to have to give an accounting. Keep telling himself that. He's going to have to give an accounting. Emes hadin. You hear? Not to be excessively demanding of situations and other people, not to walk around with complaints against anybody, and not to have exaggerated or troublesome requests of others, which meant self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency as much as possible. Self-sufficiency, and not to ascribe my problems to this condition, that. Always to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the ability to do His will, and the etzem, what I can do, is in the sphere of self-judgment, is in the sphere of utilizing my abilities and my time, it's in the sphere of proper understanding of self and my world, It's what I can do is in the sphere of knowing that I have to keep a bookkeeping and I'm going to have to give an accounting. I won't escape an accounting. It's a powerful push towards children, and in a way towards constant children, towards constant growth. This is still common denominator. And to avoid, to try to diminish my kindness against the world. To bend one's head when waves seem to go over you. To be nichna, to be an onov. And he said, I'll read it a little bit. He said, onov and nichna, ma'akin rosha, v'kol gala over olov, yir yaha'odam. I didn't see where the subject is here. I read this as at the beginning of the sentence. Man will become an onov and nichna. In other words, not attempting to the opposite of hishtaltut. He'd bend his head to every wave. This doesn't mean to rishis, to ra, to other people. To every wave that passes over him, the more he grasps in death, out of the deepening grasp that he has of Amun and Yerushalayim. This is the cloud. Then I want to read you a few of his pisgamim. See, whole sikhas we don't have the time to do. But he has a wonderful group of Simchas Yisrael. Yisoides HaChochma V'Amusa. There are 10 of them here. In brief sentences, and the Toldos HaYisoides wrote out once, what are the results of these Yisoides? One, Rifyon, that means becoming weak, negligent, obgelosen, what's the word in English? Huh? Rofi yedem en ater, what? No. Rifyon means to let go, laxness. Laxity is better, right? Laxity and its rashlus and negligence in the Eisek of Chochmah is death. And the only one who is ever afraid of this kind of death is one who strove hard to understand in accord with his level, in accord with his ability, talents, personality, the Mama HaNeuro. I don't have it here before me. There's two volumes. Chochmah, what's its name again? The two volumes of Rabbi Soil. Of Simchas Yisrael. One is a very big one. Not Das Chochmah Musa. That's Chochmah Musa. In Chochmah Musa, there is found a Mama HaSeichel VeAchush, mind and sense. He says a person who has strived to understand that, he calls it himself a Mama Neuro, he'll be afraid of what I mean here when I say that his Rashlus in Eisek HaChochmah is death. Such a person feels that he's dying, it's killing him. If he becomes lax in understanding, in thinking, in working with his mind. Laxity in that is to him Misa. Beis. Misas HaSeichel is not like Misas HaGuf. The Guf dies once, and there are no Madregas in Misa. Misa means Misa. But Misas HaSeichel, there are many deaths, and many Madregas. Gimel. The Baal HaChochmah HaLoymed VeOisik Bo, one who is a Baal HaChochmah and he's learning and he's Osuk in it, he is HaChai HaGomor. He lives completely. Yeah. All of him lives. He's all alive and forever. His life will never be interrupted and his life will never come to an end. Other time. Take a look at Rabbi Soil if you want to understand what Pshat Rabbi and the Yegeres HaMusa on the neshama outside the gulf, what it feels after death. And the Yegeres HaMusa, there are a few lines on that. You'll understand what he's saying here.
It sounds very much like Socrates. I don't think it detracts from it.
They understood, some of them, that the neshama has its eternal existence. He believed, by the way, Socrates believed in Asharas HaNefesh. He believed in the mortality of the soul. You know where you can get a glimpse of this? If you ever saw the Gesher HaChayim, the third volume of the Geshem HaChaim is a description of after death, and in the Hagdamah to the Geshem HaChaim, Abchim Michal Tkachinsky's son, he was the Rosh Hashiva of Etz Chaim in his day, one number of key Sforim, Amigdash Rekadosha. His son writes up the last hours of his life. And you could see that he lived what he wrote in that sefer. He didn't feel that he was dying. He was going from one room to another. And it was like he was already detached in this life. So, ha'oras that I'm making from that, from this, that you should hear a little bit of what is meant here. Such a person is totally alive and forever alive. And if not, he's constantly dying. Dalit. Yeah.
Didn't he well say that Halemik Musa Chayim
Kol? Yeah, yeah. He's expanding that. You see, he was saying that at that moment, then he's alive. And he was saying that a person who is Osuk in Chokhmas HaTorah and in everything that involves these inyana we're talking about, he's alive totally. Yachaya Gomu. He's developing that. Yeah, Dalit. Mevakshei HaChokhmah, those who seek wisdom and those who are mishtokek im lo, yearn for it, since they have a yearning for life, you hear, they're already in the gather of those who live. Here he makes it a little bit easier for us. He says like this, if there's a hisrashlus, he's dying, and there's a lot of deaths. If there is a bikush, a bakosho, he's already beginning to live, even though he'll become a chai gomo to the extent to which he's totally immersed. You know what I'm saying? So there's like a hagdama, and there's an opposite of the hagdama. And there's hope that his life could end up chayim gemurim. So that should give us hope. Hey, a person who is bechlal not mishtokik lechochma, he has no yearning for it, just not interested. He's a mes gomo, because he has no desire to live. And his end is bitter. Shame and klima forever. But it could be that if somebody awakens him and lets him know his sickness, he may seek a refuah. And he may discover that when he's made aware that there is medicine for his makkah, and the yosha v'yichya is going to come alive again. Vov. He who has discovered, it's become clear to him, that a person who is misrashel b'chachma, is neglectful, lax in chachma, is a mess, and nevertheless he continues to be neglectful and to be lax, that's the most terrifying, the most dreadful kind of death. For that, chalila chas v'shalom, there's no medicine. Yeah. If he knows that he's misrashel, and sticks to it, so that's step after step, you see. In other words, there's a hagdama that if he wants, he's beginning to live. If he doesn't want, he's dead. But he still could be awakened by somebody else. But if he knows that he's misrashel, and the alpha began, he sticks to it, so he's after the ha'ora, such a person is lost. Zion. The cycle of a person is like a free bird, tzipor dror, a wandering bird. If he won't watch it with a shmira me'ula, he won't watch his seichel with excellent shmira, guardianship, he'll lose it. Because about that the Pesuk says, atoef enecha bo, you raise up your eyes on it, the flicker of an eye, eyelash, v'ena, it's not there. And if he does that, he's destroying his own neshama. If he doesn't watch his seichel will fly away. We need policemen for our seichel. The next one I don't understand. I'll read it for you, maybe some of you. Hameis misa sa chochmo. Loi ha chochmo ha mis seichel. Element melemes. Vachochma hi rakasha gilsaloi hamisa hazois. What my problem with this passage is, that what he seems to be saying over here is that there are times, unless there are times when a person who has died, the Mises HaChachma, you hear? And he thinks that somehow Chachma killed him, or the lack of it. And yet he has discovered, he feels that he's dead. He seems to be saying over here that there is a darga in which a person realizes, I'm dead, Mises HaChachma, but there's enough Chachma that touched me for me to know it. Now, the pshat in this, I don't understand. Tess. A person who feels and senses that he's dying, and he has the bitterness and the dread of death, he can at least give it savor to his family before his death. A person who's dying without being margish, he dies like he's dying like a behemoth. Number 10, you hear? Sense, evidence, and Mofes is other sense and evidence from the world, from the real, from the practical world. Olam HaMaaseh, they bear witness and they tell that in places where the person who doesn't think is regarded like as if he's not living, in such places the person who thinks is regarded like as if he is alive. Ooh, this is... Say it again, somebody. This, I believe, my little brain, I do have it. This, I hear. You know, you come to places where there's a chashivus given. The chachma. Right? The chashivus, this person is ma'amekis. And there's a chashivus given to them. So he says in places where the lo choshev is not regarded as being alive, there the choshev is regarded as the one who's really alive. And conversely, in places where the lo choshev is regarded as alive, there the choshev is going to be regarded as if, well, as if it's an ivory tower then. Quarter after nine. They told us how you sold us. Ah. Not to do this, but I want to get to, no, I'm going to try now, even though I won't get to the others. Aleph, what are the results of these yesodos? Once it becomes clear to a person that neglect and laxity in chachma is death, and he becomes afraid of this, and he seeks ways to save himself from that death, when it becomes clear to him that ha-chachma t'chaya ba'aleha, this whole ma'amer, these words, these subtleties, it's a pirush on the ma'amer ha-chachman, ha-chachma t'chaya ba'aleha, wisdom makes its masters alive. Then he will, as he becomes aware that this is what's happening to him otherwise, that in itself will cause him to be mishtokik v'tshukas hachaim. He'll want to live and he'll want to be a Baal Chachma. When it becomes clear to him that his rashlus hachachma is misa, then mishtokik will be born in him. Beis, since there are different madregis in misa, each one goes with its, he'll be afraid even of a small madrega in misa, because shall call upon him, even the small death is to him also death. Gimel, since the Baal HaChachma is the Chaya Adomo, he's all alive, he's going to yearn to come to his madrega, because the one who wants to live holy. The one who wants to be a Chai, he wants to be a Chai Adomo. Since those who are Mevakshei HaChachma are already in the fence, they're within the fence of the living already, there will be awakened in him at the Shukah for a Rav Moira Darkei HaChachma B'Tshukah Niflo Miyoyed. He will yearn desperately, I should say passionately, for somebody to teach him the Darkei HaChachma. Even at a smaller level, I see with great admiration, I bow my head to it, so many Bolami Bachurim, Bonas, here, everywhere, who at a certain point will say, but I wish I had somebody who could guide me and direct me. And they themselves don't understand the depth of what they're saying. Maybe that's, well, this has to do with the question that you asked before, why it is that those, that first group of Mashgichim, of course it's always Matan and the Me'ali, had to throw all their koches into that. into that. You hear? He looked for such teachers, for such guidance. When he finds such a person, he's going to guard that connection like he guards the apple of his eye. Every minute that he spends with such a person will be precious to him. He's going to love such a person with a wondrous love, like he loves life. And he's going to feel, the Gemara says this, remember? Peresh mimcho is keperesh menachaya. He's going to feel about that Rebbe of his, that whoever he separates from him, he's separating himself from life. You know what, more than anything else, what this gives away, how he felt about what he saw. Hey, once it becomes clear to him that if a person has no in into Chachma, his mace, Mises, Behema, if he doesn't feel it, he'll be very ashamed. Because he's going to start, if he realizes that, he's going to remember that Mesa, Odom, and Abhema, Oyin, there's a possibility that the difference between a man and an animal should be nothing. The contemplation that might happen to him will be the biggest shame that he can feel. In the middle, it will be the biggest prat to tshuva. And this is Mavhil, he says. Trembling will seize him when he'll be with his Rebbe, Ahava, and Yira as well. And every day he's going to realize he's hearing new things and powerful things every day in the Tzurais. He's hearing the flaws, he's hearing wondrous things from the Nefloes HaChachma. And he's constantly under warning to be careful that he shouldn't die with that terrible death, you hear? And that he shouldn't be misrape. If a person is misrape, if he becomes, in other words, just like if he's misrape from Chachma, he's dying. If he's misrape from learning from his Rebbe or relating to him, also that at the necessary level with Ahava and Yira, he'll also feel that he's on the way to death. Not much Ma'abed, that's what it does. He'll look at himself. If he's got such a Rebbe already, if he finds him, it's a big schus to find such a person, that if he's not taking advantage of that, that's already suicide. Of that, he's committing suicide. Once it becomes clear to him that the seichel is like a free bird, and it's easy to lose that bird, and when he loses the seichel, he's losing his neshama, he will always awaken his mind not to be sleepy. Like a, what do they call it, a guard on a post. What's the name?
Sentry.
He's always going to say, oh, I mustn't fall asleep. The enemy is there. And he'll always try to stand on guard that his eyes shouldn't close, each one in accord with his level. Since it's not Chachma that kills him, that's the one that I didn't understand, but he dies Memela, because he's walking away from Chachma, it'll become clear to him that he alone is guilty, not anyone else. If he'll be upset, he'll be upset with himself. Well, I begin to hear what he was trying to say before. You know what people think when they don't want to learn? I see this a lot among Balbatim. I see it a great deal, see it so often, among Menaitera too, but especially among Balbatim. If you try to get them into a habit of regular limud of Kriya Sittin Vatera, so they taina, can't take it, it's too hard, it's not letting me. It's almost like as if they were saying that this inyan of Chachma is not letting him. So this is killing him. And therefore, if he ends up not knowing, it's the fault of this Chachma. What he's trying to say is that it's my fault, not the fault of. In other words, I didn't go after it. I didn't look at it like a person who's mishtekek l'chayim. He'll be upset with himself. And this charota is going to be shleima in that case. It'll be total. And this talodo of realizing that to the extent to which he didn't become alive in his mishtekek l'chachma is his fault, that in itself is going to make a tremendous roshim on him towards tshuva. He's got only himself to blame. And where does this taloda come out? Where is it most necessary? This is, he says, is the avoda b'yikir of Yamin Nevoim. The b'yikir, the avoda of Yamin Nevoim, let's understand, let's hear. The avoda of Yamin Nevoim, beginning with Elul, is for a person to hear, it's not Chachma that killed me, not Torah, not avoda, not Bakosha Samidus, it's me. And that, he says, that's especially necessary for Avodas Yamin Nuroyim.
Is this what Talmud says, I don't want to go to
yeshiva
because when I go there, I don't even like it. I'm going to become
thrilled
and I'll have to change my
life. You know what happened today? Something happened today at the end of the Sikha, the day just before Marv, that I saw a big Bal Nefesh, big Ilui, very far away. He's fighting like a devil. And he's here already a few weeks. I saw him weeks ago and I had with him, and I gave him time out of his eyes. So he's a gewaldig. And I saw that he sat. His eyes were wide open today for a certain reason. And while I was talking to everybody, he heard that I was talking to him. And he got to the last moment, and he saw I was coming in for the last person. I was coming in for the kill, and he flew. You hear? And my gut instinct, I never did this in my life. And he flew from his chair, and I said, "You stay another minute." Turned around and he stopped. And so clearly what was happening. Because the pasuk I was coming to was that anybody who understands what the Rabbeinu Bechaya says in the Maldman, the Esa Makis, sees that Yesha Lakim Boyle. That Esa Makis was an Aedis beyond. And he didn't want to hear that last few words. Because he wants to hear that the Makis is a bunch of Makis up his frogs and lice and whatnot. And that he couldn't take, because his ingrown toenail is that he has to approach the Torah. He has to approach the Torah from the perspective that he got whatever he heard about, whatever campus he was, or less than that even. That's a bunch of myths or so. Here, Chalila. A little further, we'll stop. Tess. Since a mess who is magish, if he knows he's dying, he knows that he has to leave at Savor before his death. Right? Therefore, a person will not be misyoish, he'll never despair from waging this war, you hear, to become a mishtoikik bechoch masatoyra, even if most of the time he's going to lose, because he doesn't want to die like a behemoth. He wants to leave a tzavor, so he's going to keep picking himself up again, because if I have another few days of life, and if I have another week, or another month, or another year, I'll still try. Maybe I won't die like a behemoth. And he said, "Mizoi tachbula b'dedes." This tachbula, this technique, doesn't work for everybody. It's for the individual, like we said before. The Yonah that have a shayachas to the Yochid, and Yonah have a shayachas to the Rabbi. Himself says, "This is tachbula b'dedes." 10. Since sense testifies, eidos ne'amono. You hear? Namely, that what? Remember that. That in places, in societies, in which the one who is not thinking is not regarded as a living person, in those places, the one who thinks in chachma, misamek v'chachma, is choshuv kechai, he's alive. Since sense bears testimony to this, he'll take it to heart, and it'll make a strong roshem on him, once, or to the extent to which the clarity of their truth, the truthfulness of this point becomes clear to him, it'll affect him strongly. Which means, I want to try to spell out with this, I stop, what this could mean for us. Remember the Gemara about Rabbi Yossi? Yeah, Rabbi Yossi, he stuck by a certain person, he said to him, Rabbi Ratzancha Shetabim in Kameinu, and we'll give you all the generous of the Kesir. So he said, you know, you can give me anything in the world, I will only live in a place where there's chachmas atayim. Now, it isn't always possible for everybody, you know, to be given, you know, such a positive matzah for his life. The big schusim, spreading Torah in places that are nidach, and dragging oneself up from, you know, from far away. But a person who knows here that a society which values chachma, you can test it like one against the other, in such a society which regards the one who is not into chachma as not alive, such a society will value chachma. The effect that this would have on us would be one of two things, positively. Either we look for such connections, one of them he mentioned, a Rebbe, a Madrech, such chaveira, can't have it all year, ever. a Yom Tov, a visit. We look for such connections, or we try to build ourselves into such a matzav, where we know I and my six chaverim, ani ubeis in avodas Hashem, I and my ten chaverim, we to us, the chayim shel chokhmah is chayim, and the other chayim is misa. We hear that, right? That becomes in itself a major component of building our Yiddishkeit world. And then, by the way, the effect of that is, that's why he leaves that for last, that even though this is such a difficult path, and alone we're not going to be able to end up doing it, all by ourselves, and even though we have to know that in the long run, it's me and nobody else. But once we start hearing that there is this Eitzah, I'm looking for this Rebbe or this Madrich, and I'm looking for such a Kvutz, and I'm looking for a place which has such and such a system of values, that this is what it values and this is what it doesn't value, right? And therefore, this is where I want to link up. All of the time, much of the time, some of the time, and this is what I want to build. This is going to mean I'm not just looking for a lot of knowledge. I'm not looking for a certain type of drive, one type. I'm looking...